Welcome back to the programme. The time now, 29 minutes to 6 o'clock. I'm joined on the line now by Liam Horan, Managing Director of Slí Nua Careers Limited, to discuss our Careers Corner. Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening, Eden.
And thank you very much, as always, for joining us. We're going to look at a rather relevant issue for this time of year. Many teachers, indeed including newly qualified ones, Liam, are endeavouring to get work for the forthcoming school year. Now, needless to say, it's a competitive world for teachers out there right now. And we're going to look at primary school teachers and what they need to do to improve their chances of getting work.
Yes, as you rightly say, getting on the ladder can be very difficult for teachers, and we're looking at primary school teachers today. You know, we have cutbacks in schools, rising teacher-pupil ratios, and just, I suppose, fewer opportunities for teachers, and all the more reason or all the more requirement for newly qualified teachers to impress whatever chance they get in terms of applications and meeting principals and that kind of thing. So I'd say there are probably a 7-point checklist I would go through for somebody who's a newly qualified or recently qualified teacher, that they must have in order when they're going on the trail. And for those who may not be familiar with this scene, the trail frequently involves going around to schools, calling in to meet a principal, hoping to make an impression in that few minutes. So, you know, it's apart from applications to formal positions, schools regularly have, a day here and a day there, depending on sickness or other shortages. So that's often how young teachers, newly qualified teachers, start to make their impression. So I'll go through the 7-point checklist first, I suppose.
Please do.
First of all, have a good CV. A CV that sells you. It's the first real... Well, it might not be the first point of contact in this instance. It's the long-lasting point of contact. They'll have that in their hand to show to somebody else in the school after you're gone, or to talk to a colleague about if they're trying to suss out what value you might bring to the school. So having a CV, circa 800 words, 2 pages long, with real emphasis on the value you bring to the school, the interest you have that... you know, could be of value in a school, like your extracurricular interests, your achievements in other schools, you know, whether you've trained a football team or tutored the choir or set up a chess club in the school, for argument's sake. These are things that should be on your CV and should, create an impression with the principal. Secondly, I would say, in a technological era, very important for primary school teachers to have evidence of classroom work and class planning on their CV. This can be done by virtue of a very simple link to something like a Dropbox folder, which is an online storage folder, where you could drop in 10 or 12 of your PowerPoints. Again, for those who may not be familiar, most teachers nowadays come to the classroom with PowerPoint presentations put together of topics they're teaching in the class. So they, rather than just relying on chance to get into a classroom, they plan their classes out quite extensively with these PowerPoint presentations. So I think it's a very good idea to have on your CV a link to a Dropbox folder, which is free of charge, very simple technologically to do. And in there you can house 10 or 12 of your PowerPoints. Again, that adheres to a phrase we use here quite a lot in this slot, show me, don't tell me. So don't tell me about your PowerPoint demonstrations that you use in the classroom, show me them, and a simple link on your CV will go there, will allow you to do that. Step number three, or point number three, you must research the school you're going into, be it going in physically or by virtue of a letter or an email, so that when you walk in the door or when your email arrives, it should feel like a presentation for that school. And by that I mean, if you're going into a school that has a very strong sporting tradition, you know, you should be able to talk about that sport or the relevant sport or say, the musical tradition or whatever traditions they have. You should talk to the principal knowledgeably about that, or in your cover letter with your email, if that's the way you're going, you should refer to things in the school that are peculiar to that school. The principal should not feel like this is just a box-ticking generic exercise. They should feel like you have made a very real... You've tried to make a very real impression on the principal based on what the school is all about. So, for example, if you're a good user of technology in the classroom and the school is a school that uses technology in the classroom quite a bit, you should be highlighting that in the CV and saying things like, or in the cover letter, saying things like, in your school, I know you make good use of ICT in the classroom. So it should be as tight as that. Point 4 is close to point 3. I would say be strategic rather than having a scattergun approach. By that I mean if you made two good hits, as we call them, for the want of a less violent phrase, on principles each day or even each week sometimes, that's better than going to meet 15 principles and just dropping it in and not making any impression or sending out 15 CVs in a generic way. So be strategic, be focused on the school each time. Number 5, try to meet the principal. Not always possible. Lots of principals are teaching in school nowadays. But try and meet them, if only for 15 seconds. I have worked with lots of teachers who say that meeting the principal for the few minutes when they chatted about something of interest, be it sport or music, or even just people that they knew, you know, mutual acquaintances that they had, allowed them to make an impression, allowed them to create a real contact. And Ireland in particular is a very fraternal, who-you-know kind of world, which can bother some people. But
absolutely.
But that's what it is. And a word in the ear is very important. So try and meet the principal, get to know the principal, make an impression, be more than just a piece of paper, be a real person, you know. Number 6 is kind of a summation of all of those. Make impact. Know what you're going to talk about before you go to the school. Say, I'm only going to get 2 minutes here, possibly. What am I going to say in these 2 minutes? And number 7, and this is, again, sort of runs through a lot of what we've talked about previously, don't waste their time. Don't expect to get 15 minutes of their time. If they grant it to you, take it, but watch very carefully for signs that they want to move on to the next issue facing them on that day. So in, out, in, make an impression, and out again, and move on. Don't waste their time. And I suppose part of that as well is keep thinking about the value you can bring to their school. You know, they're not really interested that they can give you a day or a job. They're interested in getting the best possible value for their own school, so keep focused on that.
And Liam, is there a difference in approach between a teacher who's just out of teacher training college, who has just graduated with his or her B.Ed on the one hand, and perhaps on the other, a teacher who has been in the system for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, but like so many of them, is not, as they say, permanent and pensionable?
Yes, there is a difference. Generally, those who are within the system for a few years, they tend to be building up contacts where they can get a few days here and there of subbing, and they're probably moved on to a slightly different position where they're applying for positions that are advertised. But they may still want to be boosting their subbing days around the place. So some of what we talked about there would apply, but particularly there I'm talking about people who are just out of college and want to get on the ladder somewhere. A progression that occurs for teachers is that they start doing some subbing in an area, and generally people are constrained by their own geographical region. They start doing subbing within that area, their name spreads, they become the go-to person for subbing days there, and in time something else might come up, like a job at one of the schools that they sub in, and they tend to gravitate towards that and get that. But I suppose once you're established for a few years, you should have a few days built up to keep you going anyway. Or the prospect of a few days a week built up to keep you going, and you're watching for that chance in to become staff somewhere. But getting started is where most people seem to have the problem. Getting to do what we talked about there, how do I get my name out there? And really it's a matter of footwork, but not just footwork to say, oh, I did that, didn't I? But actually strategic, thought-through kind of footwork. And that's what we're trying to blend there in those 7 points. Not just saying covering the bases, but actually, you know, really making an impression when you get to the school.
Can we move on then to an interesting question that's posed by AD via email, which is one that I've often thought about over the years, and I'm sure many people have. Should I put referee names and numbers on my CV? Is it not the case that employers know the referees are only there to give me a good plug? And indeed, will employers even bother to ring them to find out about me?
It's an interesting question, and it may well have some truth within it, as in nobody puts down somebody in a CV who's going to give them a bad reference, but good recruiters are able to discern good from bad, they're able to discern token from real, and in a CV, as I've said here before on a number of occasions, it's no burden to put in the details. I think, particularly, going back to something I touched on earlier, in Ireland and in the west of Ireland in particular, people know people. So having a name on there that might be somebody who's well known in terms in the circle, who would be good at putting in a plug for you, saying something positive about you, it does no harm. And what I'd say is, be very careful when picking your referees. Make sure you put down the person in your previous employment who will take a phone call out of the blue, perhaps, and quickly tune into that phone call. Because, you know, a good, and I'm sure you've had this experience as well, when you give somebody, when you go to the trouble of giving somebody a good reference, I've always found that the person asking for it is generally astute enough to ask further questions, to develop it further, and the person, i.e. the person giving the reference, must be ready to go there and must be ready to kind of think through the attributes of the person. So, well, at one level, it appears like something that everybody does, so why bother? Referees are still very, very important. Don't underestimate the fact, of course, that the employer may well go somewhere else anyway to get a reference for you. You may never know where else they went to, you know what I mean? It could be somewhere completely not even listed on your CV. They may have spotted something in your hobby, so they say, oh God, I know somebody who works in that, who plays for that club or is involved in that organisation, and they may make a very discreet phone call elsewhere. But I would still say referees are a good thing to have there. The larger multinationals generally are able to get the references without even them without the references being listed there, but they're no burden to carry. And if you've good referees, they will say things for you, and that's always a good thing.
That's actually very interesting in relation to a prospective employer checking elsewhere. That hadn't occurred to me, in fact, but you can see the sense in it.
Yes, and you can't really control all of that, other than hoping that your behaviour over the years has been all right, so that this, when they, if they do go checking. Actually, on that, don't underestimate either as well the fact that they are checking social media. So be very careful what you're tweeting about and Facebooking about and LinkedIn, putting on your LinkedIn as well. They will go and check all of that as well. I had an interesting case lately from a client who pointed out that he put down a referee once, as a very, which was true, a very high-ranking member of a previous multinational organization that he worked for. He worked from at a slightly lower level, and they, and he put down his mobile number, and the company who hired him next rang the referee, got the details, or got the reference, got a good plug, as we'll say, for the candidate, and he went on to get the job. When he settled in the job, he asked the recruiter a few months later, did you ever check that the person whose name I gave you was the person I said it was? And the recruiter hadn't done that. So you could say, ABC, another global manager of such and such organization, here is a mobile number. Now, I presume most recruiters do go to more due diligence than that. But it was an interesting point that I'm not, clearly I wish to point out, I'm not encouraging that. But as a general point, people who can say good things for you are a good thing to have on your CV. End of story, I would say, you know.
And just one final point in relation to that, Liam. The individual employer who goes elsewhere seeking information from a source not mentioned in the CV, would there be a data protection issue there?
There could well be, but I would say there'd be no paper trail. I would say that
very good
phone call. I'd say that I think that goes on. I mean, I know myself, when you go to employ people, you'll go and have a little phone call, chat with somebody, you know, nice and quietly, say, do you know this person? Say, yes, I do. It goes on. It may not be covered in any paper trail, as I said, but it does go on, and it particularly goes on here in the west of Ireland, which is a fraternal-based society. Ireland as a whole, it's a small country, and it's parochial by nature, and I don't mean that as a kind of a judgment call, but actually it's full of small towns, and there's a lot of migration within Ireland, and there are lots of things that create networks within Ireland, and so people very easily can reach into almost any town in Ireland and get somebody who knows you, kind of thing, from your hometown or whatever. So don't underestimate that either, and there's nothing you can do much about it other than to hope that the person they ring doesn't recall the night you got thrown out of the nightclub or whatever.
Indeed. Before we let you go, Liam, on an entirely different matter, I was reading in one of the newspapers today in relation to the 25th anniversary of Midwest. I think you did the first football commentary on that radio station.
Yes, I did.
Back in 1989.
The first legalised commentary on a GAA match after the IBRC, or whatever it was called, in the Broadcasting Commission.
Yes.
Inaugurated the new radio station, the legalised stations, in the late 80s. And it was late July 89, Mayo and Galway drew in the Connacht final on the Sunday. which left Midwest, which was starting the next morning, with a big problem because the replay was on the following Sunday and they had no commentator. And I recall Terry Riley writing about my boss, the Western People, writing about him afterwards, that it was obvious from... It was a worry about whether the players would stick the pace, and an even bigger worry about whether Liam Horton would stick the pace. The game went to extra time. I didn't time my run.
Oh, you were a young man then.
My notes flew out the window. Mayo won it. The day the famous Jimmy Burke pushover try goal. So.
And of course, interestingly enough, Mayo went on to play Cork in the All Ireland final that year, if I'm not mistaken, in 89, and they're playing Cork this weekend.
Yes, and Table very much turned to me. That Cork team was the one going for their first All Ireland after losing two.
That's right.
And they were not, the Table were quite the opposite now. Mayo going for the first All after losing two.
Interesting times.
Yes, indeed.
Very good. Look, as always, Liam, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening. We won't have a programme next Monday because it's the bank holiday weekend, but we do look forward to talking to you on Monday week.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Liam Horton, many thanks indeed.